When you think about video games, you have to think about Nintendo because maybe you played Super Nintendo with Super Mario World or Super Mario Odyssey and Breath of the Wild on the Nintendo Switch, but it seems like no matter the generation, if you're a gamer, at some point you held a Nintendo controller in your hands, and it can be something great and iconic like the Nintendo 64 or something unique like the Virtual Boy. So we realize with so many Nintendo consoles out there, I think it's time. We're going to be ranking these from S, A, B, C, all the way to D on another episode of A Cast of the Past with yours truly, Juan Velez from Puerto Rico. Joining me, I got Ryan McNulty, the Nintendo fanboy of the trio. Keith is still out of action, but Ryan, how special is Nintendo as a whole for you?
Nintendo is definitely a huge part of my life. I mean, looking back to my childhood, the first video games I ever played were on the NES. And with recently purchasing the Wii U, I've at least one point in my life owned every single Nintendo console. So yeah, I think Nintendo's a little bit near and dear to my heart.
Yeah, same here. It seems like if you're a gamer, you don't even remember when you got a Nintendo console, but it was kind of there. I remember having an NES, I remember having a Super Nintendo, but I don't remember going to the store and actually getting it. But rest assured that even though we're a two-man team here, we do have Keith's comment. So it's going to be interesting because we did do a The Legend of Zelda tier video and podcast episode where Ryan pretty much took over the entire thing. But with this one, we realized that we want to have a little bit more fun, so we're going to be doing a live classification of these consoles. So I've wrote my list internally, Ryan has thought about his, I have Keith's, but at no point have any of us actually had the conversation. So I'm interested in this because I feel like, and agree or disagree with me, Ryan, I think that we all love basically the same consoles, but the tier where we're actually going to place them, that can be a little different, right?
I think I have a pretty good idea where you guys might land on some of the ones where we were younger. I think it's going to get a little bit more interesting on sort of the really old ones or the ones we haven't played as much, and then some of the newer ones. So I do think it's going to be interesting. And I could just quickly, for those who aren't super familiar with tier lists, just kind of go over each bracket. So S tier is absolute best. So these are what we are considering the best of the best consoles. A tier is very good, but maybe there was some aspect where we say, you know, it wasn't quite enough to take it to that top tier level. B tier, we're saying, is pretty good. And then C tier, we're saying, you know, it had its moments, but probably not the best. And D tier is probably, hey, you could never own this console and you're probably missing absolutely nothing.
Only get it for free. So Ryan, we're going to be doing this. You're going to start off with the first console and then afterwards I get to pick the next one. You ready?
Yeah, I am ready. All right, so I'll start with one that I feel will be one of the easier ones for us to place. At least that's what I'm thinking. We're going to start with the NES, essentially the Nintendo console that really started it all. This was released in 1985 in North America, sold 61.91 million units worldwide, single-handedly resurrected the video game market in the United States after a pretty devastating market crash. It had a pretty long lifespan. It says here 1983 all the way up to 2003.
It was still being produced, man. Think about that.
I mean, and now we have the NES Classic, so in some way it's still being produced to this day. So pretty wild. Game library is 679 games, and there's definitely more than that out there because of people making like bootlegged games and stuff like that. People are trying to get around all like the system locks and stuff. And just naming a couple key games, of course, The Legend of Zelda, Super Mario Brothers 3, Metroid, Contra, Duck Hunt, Castlevania, River City Ransom, tons of classics on there. So the thing is, NES, we don't deny its amazing importance to the industry, but looking at, do these games still hold up? Some of them do. Super Mario Brothers 3, I think a lot of people would say that still holds up just fine. The Legend of Zelda, the original, not so much, and a few of the other ones. I would honestly, I hate to do this, but I'd probably put it in the C tier at this point, just because so many of these games have not aged well. They're fun to kind of go back and play for a little bit, but playing through a lot of these games can be a little daunting.
Interesting. I did not expect that. So that does not mean that we're putting it in C. That means that that's Ryan's proposition. So the fact that throughout the virtual console, the fact that Nintendo has the Switch Online service, and right now, as of the recording of this, you can only get NES games, right? So that says something. I feel like the Super Nintendo made everything from the NES better, prettier, and you know, you got some RPGs, but the NES did lay the foundation. I think that when you think about any video game genre, it was really laid down upon with the NES. So you're saying C. In my case, I'm thinking more of a B just because of that, because I feel like the Super Nintendo was the, no pun intended, it was the super version. It was the better version of what was out there already. But if we never got the original, can you imagine if we ever got everything else? Like, we would have never gotten A Link to the Past. We would have never gotten Super Mario World. We would have never gotten Super Metroid, was it not for the original Metroid. So what do you think? Would you consider to maybe bump it up? I do have Keith's comment, but I want your initial feedback on that.
Yeah, I would say I could definitely be convinced in moving it up to B tier. I think the foundation it set itself can kind of propel it up there. I was more looking from the perspective of how many of these games still hold up today. And don't get me wrong, there's a good collection of them that do. So I could certainly add some leeway in and say, yes, this could definitely be a B-tier pick.
So let me read Keith's thing. He wrote a 1,000-word document. So he did his work. He's not here in spirit. He's here in spirit, I should say. But Keith wrote, so how would you rank an OG? I grew up with a Super Nintendo, so to me, the original NES games were always boring to look at. They were simplistic games, and I don't think that is a perspective I'll ever be able to change. The Nintendo Switch Online has made that obvious to me. Every time I look at it and say to myself, yeah, let's beat Double Dragon, I get a few levels in and stop. That's a common thing for me with NES games. All that being said, it's one of the most important consoles ever and deserves to be ranked high on a list. The fact that I can say 1-to-1 and you know exactly what I'm talking about is proof of that, referring to the initial levels. And Keith ranked A. So the three of us agree it's maybe one of the most iconic consoles of all time because of what it is and what it laid upon us. But you're calling it a C. I'm calling it a B. Keith is calling it an A. So it's technically B if we kind of just
yeah, I think it's fair to say that. And one thing I want to point out is definitely if we want to talk about the system, and granted, it is the first major Nintendo system we're talking about. But if we want to talk about the console on this list that has the most problems and failures as far as functionality, I mean, these things would break all the time. So, and it, like, that's gonna bump it down at least a little bit. It was the least reliable, except for maybe one other console of any of these.
Yeah. And I guess the other thing that we do got to bring up, because it'll apply to all of these, this is our list. So it is based on our actual experience with these consoles. And for me, my first console that I played from Nintendo was an NES. And we had the gold Zelda cartridge. I think we had Contra. And those were the only two games that I had. But that was just like my first wake-up call to play video games. So having said that, Ryan, what do you say? Do we bump it up to B based on what you've mentioned?
I think given our cumulative, that's a hard word to say,
that's a
rank,
word.
It should go up on B.
Okay, awesome. Awesome. So on a Cast of the Past Nintendo console tier list, the original NES, ladies and gentlemen, is a B. Now, Ryan got that. I want to break the mold a little bit. I want to talk about the GameCube. So the GameCube came out in 2001 for $199. It sold 21.74 million units worldwide. So in comparison to the NES, the Super Nintendo, you're going to see that the number went way down. And the lifespan was a little bit less, because generally speaking, it seems like the GameCube was the third console. By that I mean we had the PlayStation 2 that dominated because of the DVD player. And then you had the new boy, the big boy, the original fat Xbox that you could kill somebody with because that thing was heavy as hell. But it seems like that definitely played number two. Now, the GameCube was portable. It was literally a cube, and you could play with up to four players. But the Xbox did that as well. The PS2, you needed
I would put an asterisk next to that portable. It would, you know what I mean? Like, you could
They had a handle on it.
Yeah, but it did not feel like something you could take on the subway and start playing. You know
they had
I mean?
A screen for it, though. I don't remember
I know.
It was official.
I think you still needed some sort of power source, though.
Yeah. But it did have a 563 games released in North America, and some of the games include Resident Evil 4, The Legend of Zelda Wind Waker, Super Smash Bros. Melee, which is still played today, Super Mario Sunshine, you have Mario Kart Double Dash, another game that people still prefer over most other Mario Kart games, Luigi's Mansion, Animal Crossing, Twilight Princess. It feels like people forget that also
came out in this game, aside from the HD.
And then WWE Day of Reckoning. We're huge wrestling fans. And you and me, we played this game for just a few hours, right?
Oh, but absolutely.
But having said that, for me, I got to go with Beyond the GameCube. I think that the GameCube was not a great console. It was not a horrible console. It was a perfectly capable console. It ran a lot of the games better, like a lot of the third-party games like Prince of Persia and things like that. They ran better on the GameCube, despite the fact that it was smaller than the PS2. They ran better. And I remember playing Melee. I played NBA Street for the first time on that console. I feel like there's not a lot of reasons to go back to it, but add that to the fact that you had Game Boy Advance compatibility. Yeah, you needed the Game Boy Player. But the fact that they were figuring out different ways to enjoy the past, you had a lot of compilation discs like the Sonic Collection. And I feel like when you look at especially Mario Kart and Super Smash Brothers, we're talking about Nintendo's best. And it feels like up until the Nintendo Switch, Nintendo's best was actually on the GameCube. And to that, you can add the Super Mario sports games, like the Mario sports games, and you have all the Mario parties, which to this day, in addition to Mario Party 3, it feels like the other ones that you should play are the ones on the GameCube.
Yeah, the GameCube is very interesting because I owned it and I loved a lot of these games you put on this list. I love Luigi's Mansion. Super Mario Sunshine, I did not like at the time, but I've grown to appreciate more. I think the GameCube, its library has aged pretty well. However, given during that era, as being for a long time in that era, only owning a GameCube, you felt like that system was living in the shadow of the other two. And it missed out on some really cool third-party games. But of the ones, like you said, of the ones that it did get, it ran really well. The smaller disc allowed for much better load times than a lot of the other consoles. So it is tough because I love so many of these games, Animal Crossing, Luigi's Mansion. I mean, everyone, Melee is still the competitive Smash Bros. And it's got two amazing Zelda games on it. But I agree that it felt like at the time, it just wasn't living up to the other two consoles. And for that, I would agree that it's a B.
Yeah, and I think it's different in regards to the NES, which is currently ranked B, because the NES, looking back, maybe it's rough to play now, whereas the GameCube, it's so average that it just kind of, it was always there. I feel like the only time that the GameCube won was with Soul Calibur 2, where the other versions got Heihachi and Spawn. We got Link in the GameCube version. Talk about a character that actually made sense with that. And then bring it up, Keith. Keith actually agrees. So all across the board, because Keith wrote, the GameCube is a system I personally came late to, so giving it proper value is hard for me. There are a lot of great games on the GameCube, some of which are still being played competitively today. But because I came late to it, I considered it a B. Going up against the PS2 and the Xbox, it kind of fell the wayside. So pretty much we're all agreeing. It was a good console, but when you think about the iconic console that was the Nintendo 64, and then you look at this, it was kind of like Nintendo didn't really innovate anything with the GameCube. You had Super Nintendo made the NES games look better. N64 made the games 3D. GameCube just made more 3D games, and it made it a little bit more accessible. So for a cast of the past, the GameCube, ladies and gentlemen, is a solid B+ player.
Nicely done there. All right. So I'm going to jump to one that I don't even know if I even experienced, but I figure let's just get this one out of the way. Let's talk about the Virtual Boy. All right.
Okay,
this,
so that's going to the D.
Yeah, pretty much. So this one came out in 1995. Apparently it cost $179.95, sold less than a million units at 770,000, lifespan 95 to 96, not very long. 14 games released for the Virtual Boy in North America, 19 in Japan, 3D Tetris, Gold, Mario, is that just a game called Gold? Mario's Tennis, Nestor's Funky Bowling, Wario Land, and Virtual League Baseball are the
notable
games.
And I think I meant to write golf, and I accidentally a word.
Stupid autocorrect. So anyway, yeah, I remember a kid at lunch in elementary school had this, and he was showing it off to all his friends, and it was kind of like this cool little gimmick, but you know, they tried to do VR. It was all just red. It was just a lot of blurry red. And a lot of people got headaches, so you couldn't really play for that long. It was a total mess. It's a D.
I never played it. Although I did get my hands on one, but it was broken. And Keith, I'm going to read everything he wrote, which is, it's a piece of garbage. And then I can't say the words because we're ranked clean on podcast apps. So rest assured, the Virtual Boy, it is a friendly reminder that Nintendo is willing to take risks, but let's just say some risks are not worth taking. So having said that, let's move on to the Nintendo 64. The Nintendo 64 is one of my favorite consoles of all time, and it came out in 1996 in North America, and it cost $199. You can see a trend where Nintendo definitely loved that $200 price point. And it sold 32.93 million units worldwide. And it had a lifespan, from 1996 to 2002. And it had 4 controller ports. It had the expansion pack. It had memory cards. This was the first console, at least when it comes to Nintendo, that had the infamous thumbstick, to which many of her palms were very bloody because of games like Mario Party. And it had 296 games released in North America in comparison to 563 for the Nintendo GameCube and 721 for the Super Nintendo. So rest assured, the N64, as fondly as we remember it, not a lot of games came out for it, which is very surprising to go back and look at. Some of the games include Super Mario 64, Ocarina of Time. I could end this list right now, and those two alone would make this. But Mario Kart 64, GoldenEye 007, Banjo-Kazooie, Star Fox 64, Super Smash Brothers, the very first one, Perfect Dark, Diddy Kong Racing, if you're a wrestling fan, WW frickin' F No Mercy, and Resident Evil 2. People forget, a damn good port of that game is available on the Nintendo 64, and this one was really hard for me to rank because even though to me, there weren't a lot of great games for it, the ones that were there are incredibly iconic. I can't give you a top 15 favorite N64 games. I can give you like a really good 5, but those 5 are still some of my favorite games today. And guess what? They're still great to go back and play. So for that and the fact that the N64 defined 3D video games for me, I propose we set it at A. What about you?
All right, so it is surprising to look and see 32 or 33 million units sold when Super Nintendo sold 49, and you're like, wow, everyone's always nostalgic for N64. You don't hear as much SNES nostalgia, I guess, but yeah. That's the thing, is the impression that N64 left on people lasted a lifetime. And like you said, we had Super Mario 64, Ocarina of Time, two of the greatest games of all time. Not to mention, Keith's not here, so I can gloat about Majora's Mask at no resistance.
This is your chance, Ryan.
Even DK64, not the greatest platformer, but still a really great, like still a fun game. And then Banjo-Kazooie had a sequel, Banjo-Tooie. There's so many amazing games on this console. And I in my opinion, the ones that it did so well that for me, and Conker's Bad Fur Day, I just thought of that.
Right.
It's an S tier for me, honestly. And the thing is, I felt in this era, although the Tony Hawk games, I think PlayStation was superior, I felt like N64 kept up with the third party games in this era. That it felt like if it was on PlayStation, it was all, unless it was an exclusive like Sony property, it felt like you were going to get the equivalent on N64 the majority of the time. I didn't feel like I was losing out owning an N64 and that there was a huge library I was missing out on. Granted, there were some key games that you weren't able to play, don't get me wrong, but I felt like the GameCube era was when Nintendo was really starting to trail in the third party department. So the games it does so well, and it kept up third party wise. To me, N64 is S tier.
I think that one way to define the N64 is quality over quantity. There's not a ton of great N64 games, like, you know, top 20, top 100. You can do those lists, but I feel like the top five, think about Super Smash Brothers. Super Mario Kart or Mario Kart 64, I would say, is an okay one. I'd say that's like the weaker
one of
the bunch.
That's the thing, though, is people love that game. That is one that people in like our generation, that is the one that they go back to. You know, that is like when people go and play, like there's a whole Mario Kart drinking game where people play.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Specifically Mario Kart 64. It is the go-to version. So I would say, even though, like, you could say Mario Kart 8, man, that is a much smoother, better game, but people love Mario Kart 64.
I struggle to go back to it, though. I think that's one of the games where you forget that it's sprite-based and it's very blurry. Yeah, it's fun, but
I
much prefer
like
Double Dash.
I just played the Wii one again recently. I think I liked 64 better than the Mario Kart
Oh,
Wii.
Yeah, no. You're not going to have a battle with me on that. I think that without question for me, it's maybe Mario Kart 8 Deluxe and then Double Dash and then Mario Kart 64 and then Super Mario Kart. I enjoy playing it, but I always got kind of overwhelmed with like the visual effects and things like that. But Keith wrote the following. I love my Nintendo 64. Some of my favorite games ever are on the N64, but I think the console is one of the hardest consoles to go back to and play. Being a victim of early 3D games is what stops the N64 from being an S-tier console. There are many S-tier games on the system, but for every Mario 64, there are 10 hex imports. You kind of talked about like Tony Hawk, like it's the inferior one, but it is still there. But No Mercy lives on the N64, so it will always have a special place in my heart. Therefore, he ranks it at A. So we have two A's. We have an S. Now, that being said, and I think with this argument, I am willing to coincide with you, Ryan, with an S tier. If we did not have Ocarina of Time and Super Mario 64, much like we did Super Mario Brothers 3 and then Super Mario World, the video game landscape would be very different right now. The fact that Ocarina of Time, you can go back to it and play it today and it's still... Like, forget about the 3DS ones. I'm talking about the original
Still
one
good.
On the N64. Yeah. And it was the first 3D Zelda game. How insane is that? Think of, like, your first 3D Mortal Kombat game. Your first, insert blank, 3D game. Most of them flat out sucked. Yet Nintendo figured out a way to not only make it good, not only make it great, not only make it iconic, but it set the standard for future generations. To this day still. We talked about, you know, we're going to be talking about things down the line. We recently talked about like games that are inspired by Zelda games. And you can easily go back to this one and go like, yep, this is where it began.
Yeah, the whole concept of Z targeting and all of that, the whole lock-on mechanic. And like, let's not sleep on Super Mario 64 again. It wasn't until going back playing it a couple of years ago that I realized how good Super Mario 64 is. Sure, some of the levels, you know, look a little bland nowadays. But I think the most impressive thing to me about Super Mario 64 is the movement of Mario and how like how he gets momentum and how many moves he has in his arsenal. If you watch speedruns of Super Mario 64, just The biggest important thing about that game is the movement, and it's so impressive what you can do with Mario and just momentum and all the cool flips and stuff you can do. It's insane how much they were able to pack into that aspect of playing as Mario and make it so amazingly fun.
So having said that, Ryan, if you accept, I am willing to agree with you and then put it up to S rank. I think the N64 is that iconic. Okay, so folks, that was a thing. N64, S rank on a cast of the past. Now, Ryan, you got the next pick.
All right, let's jump around a little bit and go with the Nintendo Wii. Release date 2006 in North America. This went for $249.99, a little above their usual price point. Sold over 100 million units worldwide, had a lifespan of 2006 to 2013, though Just Dance 2019 just came out for it. So
it's
we
2020,
can extend,
2020, yeah.
Yeah, we could extend that lifespan just a little bit. 1,200 plus games released for this console. My God. And the initial models were backwards compatible with GameCube. I didn't know that they stopped offering that.
Yeah, they eventually did a white model, but it did not have the GameCube ports at the top.
I was going to say, I got mine relatively late, and it can still play GameCube games. Like, I got the black model with Mario Kart. Yeah.
Yeah, most of them can, but they later did a white model that didn't have the GameCube ports, and then they did a black and red model that was like $100 that was just all across the board pretty bad.
Okay. The Nintendo Wii also was the console that added the Virtual Console, which was an awesome way to download old games from previous Nintendo eras and be able to play them on your Wii in nice 420p graphics. And so some memorable games from the Wii library: Super Mario Galaxy, which also had a sequel, Super Mario Galaxy 2. We had Wii Sports, which came with the system if you got it, if it wasn't bundled with another game. Twilight Princess, Xenoblade Chronicles, Donkey Kong Country Returns, Mario Kart Wii, New Super Mario Brothers Wii. They added a new Punch-Out. There was also like Wii Sports Resorts. This was obviously a console centered around motion controls. A huge reason why it sold so many units was because this was the family-friendly console that they basically were looking to hit, this market that they were looking to have. And it had adults and children alike excited to play this. And legit, you can still see, like, there's Wii bowling tournaments at, like, you know, retirement homes and stuff, still doing this. So the Wii, still relevant to this day, which is crazy. Where I propose, I would honestly give the Wii probably a B for myself personally. I'm not a huge fan of motion controls. Don't get me wrong, when I first was playing Wii Sports, I really loved it, but the thing is, I feel as though the novelty does wear off. A game like Skyward Sword, which I mentioned in our Zelda tier list, the motion controls playing through an entire 30 plus hour game, you really get frustrated with it. But as a casual, similar to like VR, as for a every once in a while type of fun, I think the motion controls can be a really great gimmick. But for me personally, as a gamer, a lot of the Wii library really is not something I like to go back and play, or I'm constantly thinking about were really great games to me.
I am going to have to agree in terms of the B, and I think that the Wii is something that I first got to play Twilight Princess, and I got out, my brother wanted to get it. We actually managed to buy one despite the fact that we didn't pre-order it. We bought it day one, and really, like, playing Wii Sports, even though we knew it was a gimmick, we knew that eventually the magic was going to wear off. There was something special about PS3 and Xbox 360 kind of just battling between each other. But then here's Nintendo just saying, we would like to play. their entire marketing campaign, everything about the Wii is like, we do not care about graphics. We don't care about the HDMIs, which people forget. The Wii, it didn't have an HDMI port. And to this day, I think that
it's annoying.
That would have made for, it would have made for a much better console had they had that, because it's a very blurry thing, even though you can play Wii games on the Wii U, but that's not the point. But nowadays, I still go back and play the Wii. Just this past weekend, I played a bunch of games because modern televisions don't play with the light guns, you know, because they're not CRTs or LCDs. But the fact that with the Wiimote, you can play a lot of light gun games. So I love to play House of the Dead 2 and 3. I love to play Ghost Squad, Resident Evil, The Umbrella Chronicles. So it's that great 30 to 45 minute maximum experience. And some games do play better. Like, for example, Resident Evil 4. Resident Evil 4 came out on the GameCube. It's good. But the fact that you have to stand there and aim wasn't all that fun. But you put it on the Wii, much like the Metroid Prime trilogy, and all of a sudden, that aiming makes sense. Some games had it a little bit rough, like Medal of Honor. But for me, I think that the Wii is a console that, yeah, a lot of people made fun of it because it was gimmicky, and it was. But Nintendo, the numbers don't lie. The gimmick worked. Yeah. They sold a ton of money. So who's to complain, right?
Yeah, you can laugh at the Wii, but Nintendo was laughing all the way to the bank.
It almost surely did print money. So looking up Keith, he also agrees. He's also calling it a B and citing that the Wii is an extremely, in all caps, important system at face value. It's the console that made video games mainstream to the point that you can argue that Wii Sports might be one of the most important games of all time. And you really cannot argue with that. And I know that even to this day, it's been debatable because they factor in the Wii sales to the Wii Sports sales. So it's like one of the high selling games, but they didn't really sell it in the US. It was bundled with the console, right? So it's kind of shady business practice. But beyond that, it's mostly a minigame packages with odd hits sprinkled in. I'll never forget the time that my grandmother, who was in her 70s, was over for dinner, and she told me that she wanted to try out this Wii bowling thing that her friend told her about. She played it and had a blast. We went out and bought for her a Wii the next week. To this day, it's still hard to wrap my head around that idea. But beyond a few core experiences, there's not a lot of substance that the Wii brought. Wii Sports, though, holy crap.
Yeah, I completely agree with Keith's assessment. If anything, it truly was the console that anyone could enjoy, and for those merits alone, it should be a B.
Yeah, and not just that. Nintendo knew what it wanted to be, and it was that. It was the family-friendly console that was cheap. You can buy it for like $20 used at a pawn shop nowadays. So having said that, the three of us agree, the Nintendo Wii, ladies and gentlemen, is a cast of the past tier list rank B. So just to recap, N64, S rank. At the B tier, we have the NES, the GameCube, and the Wii. And at a solid D, and I think that's the only one that's going to be there, is the Virtual Boy. Now we have the Super Nintendo, the Wii U, and the Switch. I'm going to tackle the Wii U as somebody that recently bought one, thanks to some Mr. McNulty guy that persuaded me to buy it. We were talking about this on the Discord.
You're welcome.
I am so sad at the Wii U. Because the reason that I bought it is that people made so much fun of it, like, ha ha ha, Wii U, terrible name, and I'm not disagreeing with any of that. But the Wii U was a flop for all the wrong reasons. So it came out in 2012. It had two price points. $300 brought you a white Wii U with, I believe, only 8 gigabytes of storage, which at 2012, nothing. The $350 deluxe version came with a 32 gigabyte hard drive. It came with a black Wii, and it also came, I believe, with Nintendo Land. This is where it gets sad. This thing sold 13.56 million. Nothing. Nothing in the grand scheme of consoles. Even the GameCube outsold it. So we had the actual Wii U, which was the physical console, but the reason that people were very torn on this is because of the gamepad. So the gamepad was not only required, but you couldn't buy a second one, and it added a second screen experience. So, you know, you have in the handheld side of things, you have the DS, right, with the two screens. You could do a lot of that. So even Wind Waker, the reason that I bought that version is because people say, hey, you have the map there, and it's awesome, but not a lot of companies really made use of that. 141 to 157 physical games came out for it as of March 22nd, 2016. That's not a lot because in contrast, the Switch has over 400 physical games. So just think about that. And some of the games, and if these sound like they're out for the Switch, it's because for the most part they are. We have a Mario Kart 8, Super Mario 3D World, which is not out on the Switch, Super Mario Maker, Splatoon, Super Smash Bros. For Wii U, that is the actual name, Nintendo Land, Captain Toad, Hyrule Warriors, Wind Waker and Twilight Princess HD, Bayonetta 1 and 2, Donkey Kong Country, Tropical Freeze. There was an unfunky edition of that game. And Breath of the Wild, which actually ran better, I believe, than the Switch
version. In certain aspects. And I think Super Mario 3D World is on the Switch now, the deluxe thing. I think they have it.
No, you're confusing. No, there's New Super Mario Brothers, which I do have on the Switch. But Super Mario 3D World is the only main Mario game on the Wii U that has yet to come out on the Switch. Which I hope it doesn't, because I bought that version. So I got to feel like at least that's worth something. Initially, I was going to put it on the B tier because I feel like it failed, but for all the wrong reasons. It failed because of marketing. It failed because it had one of the worst names ever. There's a game, Ryan. Okay, this is going to give you a headache. There's a game on the Wii U called Wii Party U. Wii Party U. So not Wii U Party. Wii Party U.
They're the worst.
How
they're
the hell worst. Is... Who booked this crap? Who booked this crap? Seriously. But it's having said everything, it really has to be C because there's almost no reason to go back to it, despite the fact that it has one of the best virtual consoles. You can buy games for the TurboGrafx, the Game Boy Advance. You can play Game Boy Advance and Nintendo DS games on the Wii U. What say you about it?
All right. So I, like you, just recently bought a Wii U. But for not really the reasons that you would think, and probably more similar reason to what you said, I basically was like, hey, they closed down the Wii Virtual Console store, so I can't really go back and buy the old games. So my plan was to basically make my Nintendo nostalgia machine. And I've been waiting 2 years for this Switch Virtual Console to happen, and I'm just like, you know what? I'm losing my patience, so the Wii U shop is still open. And that's going to be my personal Nintendo nostalgia machine. Besides, Wind Waker and Twilight Princess HD are better with that second screen. So this system really comes off as the prototype to the Switch. You can see like the wheels spinning and what they were going for. And I feel like the Switch is a more fully realized version of that. But I appreciate a lot of what Wii U is going for. Yeah, the marketing... awful with the name. People thought it was like an expansion to the Wii. They were very confused. The tablet design itself kind of looks like a Fisher Price type of deal, like a child's tablet.
It's comfortable though, but yeah.
Yeah, it just doesn't look cool. It doesn't feel sleek and modern. And I think that definitely didn't help its case. And yeah, the fact that its library is, it's just too small that I agree, it's a C. It's something that had so much potential, but just... It, you know, because they really touted that there was going to be third-party support, but once that they saw the sales were not really coming in, I think a lot of third parties kind of dropped out. So it had some promise, didn't live up to the hype, still had some really good, you know, that's the thing about Nintendo, you're always going to get those great first-party titles. But once, you know, the writing was on the wall for the Wii U and the Switch came out, a lot of those just got ported to the Switch. So yeah, I agree. It's a C. It had promise. But it just didn't quite get there.
So Keith agrees. He also called it or branded it a C, stating, I think the Wii U will go down in history as the best system that nobody played. And couldn't agree more. Third-party developers never really figured it out, and that's a real shame. With every good Wii U title slowly being ported to the Switch, there's not a lot of reasons to ever go back to the Wii U at this point. So I think this is so sad because... whether you rank a Nintendo console A, B, C, whatever, you can easily go back to each one of these and get some kind of an experience. But really, once you port Twilight Princess and Wind Waker to the Switch, which have to happen eventually, and then you port maybe Super Mario 3D Land, it is literally irrelevant.
The second screen.
And that's sad.
The second screen, I will argue, for me personally, who's I know I'll be replaying Zelda over and over again, I appreciate the second screen. So I think that's actually superior to the Switch version. And honestly, Breath of the Wild, if had the Switch been delayed and Breath of the Wild was going to be a Wii U only thing, I have no doubt that it would have actually played better with the second screen. So there's definitely some merit that it has that the Switch cannot offer, and that it is that second screen.
It begs the question, can you imagine a scenario where the Switch came out a year later and Breath of the Wild was only on the Wii U? How different would everything be?
I think we would have saw a lot more sales for that console. I think they would have at least doubled.
More than doubled, I think. The game was that good. So having said that, this is a C-tier thing that I'm not happy to put there. We all agree, but it sucks that Nintendo just didn't know what they had. Just changed the damn name. So we have here the Nintendo Switch and the Super Nintendo. And I'm going to go with the Nintendo Switch, which is still alive now, right? It came out in 2017, released worldwide for $300. And as of this date, as of December 2018, I should say, it sold 32.27 million units. So it more than doubled the Wii U. It offers both a portable and TV gaming experiences. Obviously, that's big, but not just that. You have the Joy-Cons, which I hate. I really don't like the Joy-Cons. I rarely use them.
Pro controller is where it's at.
Yeah, for the win. But the fact that you can have a console, and by default, you kind of have two controllers, is pretty big. Unlike the other consoles, it feels like they finally did get some third-party support, but because it's not as beefy as the PS4 or the Xbox One, most of that third-party support comes in the form of smaller independent games, which really, I think that's what a console like this is made for. And it has a lot of ports. Like, you have Sphinx and the Cursed Mummy, a lot of games from that PlayStation 2 to GameCube generation. As of June 2019, it has 404 physical games. We got games like Breath of the Wild, Super Mario Odyssey, Smash Ultimate, almost the entire Wii U library at this point, Pokemon Let's Go. But you have games like Skyrim, games like Doom from 2016, Octopath Traveler. We're getting the Link's Awakening remaster, Splatoon 2, Xenoblade Chronicles 2,
Witcher
Diablo 3.
Coming.
Yeah,
Dark
Witcher
Souls.
3. So it's like the perfect console that if you're willing to make a couple of sacrifices, you're able to play these huge games on the go. And just for that alone, I got to rank it A. In my case, I got to rank it A because it's still not over. But think about the fact that eventually there's going to be a Pro of some sort. Nintendo loves to put 20 versions of each console out there. So that would address some of the concerns that we have now. And even without that, I love my Switch and the fact that I was able to play Breath of the Wild in a great way on an airplane and then come back home and continue playing it. You can't put a price on that. I mean, you can. It's $300 plus 60, but it's
nice
so damn
one,
good,
nice
right?
One.
Yeah,
I didn't think we'd agree so much, but I think a Nintendo Switch is a solid A. I mean, it really has some amazing games on it. I feel like it's a resurgence in a lot of ways. It really like breathed new life into Nintendo. I mean, Smash Brothers Ultimate, I think a lot of people would agree it's definitely the best Smash Brothers since Melee. Mario Kart Deluxe version runs beautifully. Super Mario Odyssey is one of the better Mario games to come out. It's really got so much to offer, and it just has this expert design to it where when you want to pop it, you know, put in the dock and play it on the TV, you just pull the control, you know, the Joy-Cons right out. I mean, as you said, we both prefer the Pro controller, but still, and the fact that one console, depending on most games, can become two controllers where you can give a Joy-Con to your friend and be able to instantly play two-player games. I think that goes a long way. Not to mention, man, I don't know if you've played Mario Party yet for the Switch, but I think this is actually the best Mario Party probably since N64 GameCube era. It is really, really good.
I think that the party games themselves are some of the best. I think that the boards are really boring, but the fact that you have, I love the music rhythm mode. I think that one is one like nobody talks about. You look ridiculous doing it.
I think some of the boards are very interesting, and I love the strategy with the dice rolls, like choosing the dice and everything.
That's good. That's like, good. Yeah,
it's very well designed, and I think that the library is already pretty strong. It's definitely, I still find myself going to the store and being a little bit surprised at how few games are there, like when you walk into a GameStop or a Best Buy. So I do feel like the library, it's still building and not quite there yet, but there's so many great games already on the system, and it seems like they're really on a good track to continue to release more. We see with Animal Crossing coming out and the first true RPG Pokemon console game coming out with Sword and Shield. It has a very promising future so far.
I think that in maybe 5 years' time, once we realize that we're moving on to a future generation, whatever it is, the Nintendo Switch is going to be remembered as the Nintendo console. Like, not the Switch, not the GameCube, but eventually they're going to add the Super Nintendo games. They have to, like, to the Nintendo Switch Online service. And it's going to be the ultimate.
I think people already found, like, data miners have already seen it, so it's probably coming soon.
So if you want to play a Nintendo game, whichever one it is, you get a Switch, and in some way, shape, or form, you can play that. And then Keith actually brings it up to S rank, which I was very surprised at that. Maybe it has to do with Stardew Valley.
Yeah.
We got to help him out with that. But he writes, it almost feels unfair to put the Switch on this list because it's both a handheld and home console. But because it closed that gap in Nintendo, I think it's one of the most important Nintendo consoles ever. You don't need to choose anymore. Now everything is everywhere, and the difference between the handheld and Nintendo consoles is gone. It creates a massive game library. If they ever go back, they've screwed up bad. On a personal level, I love my Switch. The fact that I can be playing Smash Brothers on my TV and seamlessly transition to handheld mode is amazing. I mostly play in handheld mode, but I know people that never take their console out of its dock. It's two very different experiences that both work great. And I remember being blown away by the first time I went to the Nintendo. This is Juan talking now. I remember when I went to a Switch subreddit, and to me, I use it portably, but like every couple of weeks, every now and then, and I just assumed everybody did that. But the fact that I read people that said, hey, I have never put it on the TV, was just mind-blowing. Because the fact that that person and me can be playing the same games, but how we play them is completely different, that truly is incredible. And yeah, it's not the most powerful console, but I think people forget to realize it is a tiny thing. I'm looking at my PS4 right now. The Switch is like 1/4 of my PlayStation 4.
Yeah, it's amazing what they were able to pack in that. Like I said, expert design. I mean, we're back to cartridges of all things too. Who would have thought that, right? It just has one of the greatest designs. It's so sleek and easy to carry around. The only downside I would say is with the positioning of the joysticks, if you wanted to play like an FPS type game, it's not always the most comfortable in the handheld mode, and the Pro Controller works great for that, so there's always an alternative option for you. And so that's always there. You can even, you know, tilt your you can prop it up with a little kickstand and use your Pro Controller on the go as well. You're not required to have it hooked up to the dock, you know.
I actually brought it once to a pizza party that we had at an actual pizza shop, took over Smash Brothers, played 4-player. Bad idea, because you can't see a damn thing, but you could play it. We technically played Smash Brothers as a pizza place.
The fact that you could do it.
Yeah, so I think it's a hard sell for me at S, because they need to add that virtual console. They need to really celebrate their past. I think that up until they do that, for me, it is an absolute A with what they have right now.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, we're still mid-life cycle, and I wouldn't say the library is there quite yet for the S tier.
So, Ryan, why is the Super Nintendo the best console of all time?
See, I'm not so sure about that, but I would say, looking at the Super Nintendo, that let me just start with the background stuff before I get into my personal opinion. So Super Nintendo released in 1991 in North America for that lovely $199 price point, sold 49 million units worldwide, lasted from 1990 in Japan to 2003. Wow. Similar to NES, I guess, where Japan was still supporting it. 721 games released in North America. Memorable titles such as Super Mario World, Yoshi's Island, Super Mario Kart, Donkey Kong Country and its multiple sequels, the Final Fantasy RPGs, you had Street Fighter 2, plus 1,000 variations of that, A Link to the Past, Super Mario RPG, Contra 3, Super Metroid, Zombies Ate My Neighbors, Chrono Trigger, tons of other memorable JRPGs. Everything. As well. Yes, it really had it all. So myself personally, this was pretty much like platformers were my thing during this era. So that was my jam, along with NBA Jam. I did play that too. But Super Mario Oof. World and the Donkey Kong Country sequels are some of my favorite games ever. And that's mainly where my memories lie. Believe it or not, A Link to the Past, I just was too bad at it back when Super Nintendo was current. That was something I had to go back and get good at much later in life. Zombies Ate My Neighbors was also a game that I loved to play, but always so got my hard. Ass kicked. I've still never beat that game. Same. But holy crap, is it memorable. But the key thing for me and why I would put Super Nintendo in S tier is you can go back and play any of these classics from Super Nintendo right now, and most of them, you're not even missing a beat. They play just as good. And, you know, aside from maybe a couple like quality of life things that we're used to nowadays, these games are all rock solid, still look great, and are super fun to play.
I said in the beginning of the episode that when you think about video games, you think of Nintendo. I think you could say when you think about video games, you think about Super Nintendo. I don't think there's a more iconic thing in pop culture. Forget video games. In pop culture, the Super Nintendo is the thing that you knew about. It's like Hulk Hogan and John Cena professional wrestling. It's like Bruce Willis in the movies and Sylvester Stallone. It's the one thing that even if you're not a gamer, you knew about the controller, you knew about the games, you saw them, and you knew it was cool. The fact that you have the NES Classic and the Super Nintendo Classic, but with the NES Classic, to me, kind of like you, I played those games and I went, I appreciate you. That doesn't mean I want to keep playing you. But our first podcast episode, our first full one, was about A Link to the Past. And that was my first time ever playing that game to completion. And as I kept playing that, I kept thinking to myself, what have I been missing? Because that is video game excellence. That is video game perfection. The fact that you can go back to the early 90s and play these games, and they're still awesome. They're not awesome in a nostalgic fashion. There's a lot of PS2 games that I love to go back to and play. There's a lot of GameCube games, Wii games for the same reason. But you play them, and you have to like overlook this. You have to overlook that part. Super Nintendo games are relentless. Like, we've been playing Super Mario World. That's going to be a future review on the podcast, right? And I forgot how difficult that game is, but every time I died, I'm like, God damn it, this is a good game. Why are you so good? Can a video game really like be better than this? And I feel like whenever I play even games that I don't like in the Super Nintendo, I have to appreciate them. I have to realize like there is an RPG gamer's dream library with Super Mario RPG. Some of the best Final Fantasy games are in here. One of my favorite games of all time is Star Ocean, the second story for the PS1. The original game never came out in the US up until the PSP, and it was a Super Nintendo game. It's got something for freaking everybody. It's even got some bad first-person ports. The only real genre that I think did not do great, but you have F-Zero, which I think is actually better than Super Mario Kart. I know a little controversial, but for me...
You also got Star Fox, which played with the 3D a little
bit
too.
Yeah, true. Yeah, that fabulous Moat 7 and parallax scrolling in a lot of games. Not only was the technology advancing, but the storytelling, the graphics, and the music. Think about Super Nintendo. You can close your eyes and you can immediately listen to your favorite video game soundtrack. And I feel like, yeah, the NES did do that as well, but the Super Nintendo, I could talk about this for hours. I think it's not, if there was a tier above the Nintendo 64, I would put it over that. But Keith wrote, and guess what? He agrees, S rank, for obvious reasons. But he wrote, for me, this is retro gaming. I gotta take a breather. We've been talking a lot this episode.
I thought that's all he wrote.
Yeah. No. That's it. This is the console I grew up on and probably the reason that I love gaming as much as I do. Some of the greatest games ever made include Super Mario World, Link to the Past, Chrono Trigger, and they still hold up today. It's like the opposite of the N64, which did not age well at all. In my opinion, it has the best library of any Nintendo console. The N64 is getting attacked left or right by Keith.
Yeah.
Another thing to consider is the fact that Super Mario World was the pack-in game for the Super Nintendo. It's kind of insane that one of the best games ever was a console pack-in. The second you open up that box, you were in for a great time. And that is unreal. One of the best Super Nintendo games and one of the best video games of all time was a pack-in game. And then we got Super Mario All-Stars, and then we eventually got the version which even included a Super Mario World. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm tired, first of all. I'm just breathing right now.
I can do the recap, save you some time.
Thank you, Ryan. All right. I'm tired.
So, we'll start from the bottom up. And we'll start in the D tier. We had the sad little virtual boy that it tried its best, but maybe it didn't even try its best. Let's move on. In C tier, we have the Wii U, the little misunderstood system that had a Fisher-Price tablet. Then in B tier, we had the OG NES, the Nintendo GameCube, and the Nintendo Wii.
Wii!
Up in the A tier, we have the still running hot Nintendo Switch. And then in S tier, we have the iconic Super Nintendo and the Nintendo 64, which started all in the world of 3D gaming for Nintendo.
Beautiful, beautiful list. I can't agree more. I think that when you talk about video game consoles, the PS1 and the PS2 are some of my favorites of all time. I was more of a Sony fan growing up, but Nintendo touches your heart in a way that the other ones don't, right? There's just something about the console and the video games. You look at the controller, and I don't know if it happens to you, Ryan, but I'm transported back in time. I remember when I first grabbed that Nintendo 64 controller, which we rented at a Blockbuster to play Super Mario 64. Just incredible times.
Yes. In a lot of ways, Nintendo is very much like the Disney of video games, where they have that expert polish and care that they put into their games. And they just know how to really capture you at a young age, to really just capture your imagination and make you a lifelong fan in a lot of ways.
Absolutely. So, everybody, we hope you've appreciated this episode. It is a completely different kind of episode because, like I mentioned, with the Zelda one, it truly was Ryan carrying the conversation and us sort of reacting. But we realized that this podcast is about celebrating the past. And sometimes it really is just hit the record button. We can overly prepare for something, but having that raw conversation live is honestly just fun. Even though, for the most part, we agreed. But the reasons and the ways that we got to each thing was slightly different with some of the consoles, right? And I think it stimulates us to maybe we should review more N64 games. You know, we talked about Pokemon Snap. We talked about A Link to the Past for the Super Nintendo. You know, we talked about Katamari Damacy Reroll, even though it's a remaster. But we talked about that for the Switch. You know, we'll eventually maybe get to A Link's Awakening or something like that. But please let us know whether it be a video game, whether it be a publisher, developer, genre, something, characters. If you would like us to rank something, let us know, because I think that it's a really cool chance to talk about a little bit of everything, because I don't think we would have ever done an episode about the original NES or the Virtual Boy, but we've had a chance to give a taste, give a sample of what that would have been like, right? And another really important thing is, Ryan, you and me, we got a date next week, buddy. What's going to be going on the podcast next week?
So next week, we're going to be talking about the podcast itself. We're going to be doing sort of a look back, a state of the cast, if you will, talking about, you know, we've done movies, we've done games, we've done some bad movies, we haven't quite done some bad games yet, but we talk about, hey, what have we liked so far, and what are our plans for the future? So you can catch that next Sunday.
Yeah, and especially if you're a fan of the movie episodes, I bring up a very interesting proposition that was originally brought to us via our Discord channel. So if you want to chat with us and everybody else, you can go to acastofthepast.com/Discord. That's a chat app. You can download it on your iOS device, on Android. You can download the app on your computer. And it's a really good chance to just shoot the breeze and talk about wrestling, video games, and movies. If you like the podcast and you like what we do, please consider leaving a 5-star review on either Stitcher or Apple Podcasts and subscribe to the YouTube channel. I really like these conversations. I think that we've been doing the podcast for almost a year, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more next week, but I haven't loved video games as much as I have now in a very long time. I feel like the more that we're able to, the three of us, sit down here, Keith, come back, buddy, we miss you. Fix your damn computer. But the more that we do these episodes, the more I'm like, I don't care about the future of gaming. I care about the past of
there's
gaming,
still
man.
So, yeah, this there's is so damn much fun to talk about that we've missed out on or haven't played in so long that we get to re-experience. It's a lot of fun going back.
Absolutely. So thanks for watching and listening, and we will be back with another exciting episode of A Cast
to the
Past. Thanks for listening, everybody. Keith.
Thank you.
Keith, I know you would have bullied N64 out of S tier, so for that, I win!
Cannot wait to get his reaction.